Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go.
I'm not the one who's so far away when I feel the snake bite and tear my veins. Never did I wanna be here again. And I don't remember why I came.
Get it? Maybe not. Good evening. Welcome to Eerie House Oldie Timey Radio. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show. Oh, and Eerie House, I guess. Here along with...
Dave Bacon for Weirdness Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. No, I didn't get it. And I'm here along with...
I'm on the outside looking in because I have no idea what that reference was. Boy, boy, to you all as I go to the goal. Boy, boy. Okay.
All right. Well, tonight, our topic, of course, we return once again. This is what, our second time we visited the realm of voodoo?
At least second, yeah.
And that was the intro of a song by a group called Godsmack. And it was a song entitled Voodoo. And it's got a real, and of course, I wanted to keep it as close to fair use as possible, so you didn't get to hear any of the music from it, but it's a very percussion-oriented, all right?
Really?
Well, my wife, was, as you may have known, is a ballet teacher, right? And they were doing a recital, and the theme was Mardi Gras. And she had this troubled teen that she couldn't get interested in the ballet. You know what I mean? That was a student, kind of probably parents twisting her arm, sort of. All right? Well, there was, I had heard of this song, and it was a rather modern song, so I thought if you're going to reach out to a teenager, reach out with their music, and my wife being that creative soul and a way different bent than like you guys or us guys. But she created a ballet to this really modern song, but I later relented and cut the lyrics out because I think it is a drug reference. When he says, when I feel the snake bite enter my vein, and I think the allegory was when you're, like, really wasted on bad things, it's like being a zombie, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. It's a young person's thing. Well, younger than us, anyway. But it's about 5 or 10 years ago.
Everyone's younger than us, too.
Yes. It's getting that way.
Even Gar.
Yeah, Gar is younger than us, yes.
Barely. No, I'm not yet.
You'll catch up with us. You'll catch up with us.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Okay, who are these people?
We'll be 4 years up again. Well, it happens.
Oh,
but three.
Okay.
Three, count them, three terrific tales tonight.
Oh yeah, got Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall with Bold Venture, and you got singing. You got the singing detective there with Richard Diamond, Private Detective, and of course a not great recording, but I think I got it enough. We'll be able to understand it. Of Inner Sanctum, I went through tons and tons of different copies of it.
Was that with Raymond, Dave?
It was one of the very early ones.
Okay.
It was in either the first or early second season. And, yeah, that was with Raymond.
Yeah. Inner Sanctum is one of those shows where there's quite a few missing. And Dave suspects, I think, and I know I suspect there's at least one that's still missing featuring Lon Chaney Jr. There's so little radio.
Oh, yeah. If we could find out that one.
Oh,
there's more,
well,
far more TV of him than there is radio.
Right.
Oh, no.
He didn't do a lot of television. He could work on during the day. Radio usually went on at night.
And he was carousing. He was running around with Broderick Crawford.
Yeah.
Dave, I went digging and I found air dates for all of the broadcasts we're going to have tonight. A few different sources, but they all
would have been too hard to
then
find,
I can say.
And actually, they tell us what the date is on that Inner Sanctum, some of the very first words.
Exactly.
They'll just confirm Garth's research.
Right,
just His tremendous reach.
Right, right.
Welcoming Frogsbane and good old Bob to the chat.
Hi, and Ugga Bugga Boo.
Did I do it right?
You did.
And Godsmack.
You did.
Yeah. Oh, and Godsmack, I guess. Godsmack. Where is that?
Yeah. Okay,
They're kind of like what you'd call them. A kind of a hard rock band, I guess, of sorts. I wouldn't call them exactly metal, but they're hard rock.
Right. They came into existence in 1995. I'm not beyond running across new stuff and enjoying it, but they were on my periphery.
I am of a kindred spirit in that regard. I prefer the old, but I keep my ear out for something new periodically.
Yeah. Yeah.
But not as a rule.
I ran across a 7-foot-tall singing clown who sings amazingly called Puddle's Pity Party. This is
new. He's the greatest. He's the greatest.
Oh, my gosh, right? And I was like, okay, what is this? And I was like, well, there you go. And
didn't Mike absolutely meet him?
I had an opportunity to meet Puddles here in Gainesville, and I had a migraine. I didn't make it, but I do have a picture of him holding up a piece of paper that says, "Feel Better Gar," or something like that.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and I got
Puddles is the coolest. Such a talented singer. You told me once about that getting to meet Puddles, I think, or almost meeting Puddles.
Yeah, and the thing is with Mike Mason, you know, he doesn't speak. He thinks he doesn't speak at all. The only time he speaks is when he sings. So that's his character. He's completely silent until he sings, and he just belts it out.
I have what a voice! Yeah. Melts butter.
Do you guys have this problem? I don't have this problem because I grew up with Bozo the Clown. I do not have a fear of clowns. It wasn't until Poltergeist the movie that people were like, "Ooh, clowns." And then there was some nutballs running around scaring people dressed up as clowns. I don't know what that is.
I think the fear of clowns goes back quite a ways, Garrett. I remember seeing some pretty terrifying images as a kid. Like, even, like, darkened pictures sometimes of them, and Kelly scared the crap out of me.
Okay.
No, as a little kid,
I never had a natural
fear of clowns. It's just a particular picture I thought was kind of sinister. Plus, I was over a relative I couldn't stand. So,
well, it's like I didn't have a fear of clowns until I saw a clown. I don't know. Not to make light of fears. Fears are fears. They are what they are.
We're wishing good luck to Mrs. Fogsbane, who Fogsbane reports got into an automobile accident.
Is it automobile accident or she fell?
I'm assuming the auto part. He said in accident. Usually when you're not in a car, you have an accident. But getting into an accident, to me, applies a car. Am I wrong?
For me, I could sneeze and the dentures, you know, go sailing across the room. I go ahead and toss into the accident category.
Yeah, and that would be an accident when you sneeze, your dentures go across the room and it bites somebody. That's an accident, yeah.
Well, that's litigation.
Good old Bob recommends Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Do it only once.
They turn you into a cotton candy something.
There you go.
That's what those killer clowns do. Turn you into cotton candy.
All right, CW, did you hear the beginning?
No, I did not. I missed out. Hello, everyone.
Okay. All right. Want to try it?
He's
going to
try it.
I'm sorry. What are you going to do again?
We did a custom intro. Want to see if you'll pick up on this. Okay?
Oh, okay.
Hold on a second. Where'd I put that baby? All right, here it is. All right, see if you can identify this.
I'm not the one who's so far away when I feel the snake bite enter my veins. Never did I want to be here again. And I don't remember why I came.
So there, did you get where that came from, the source material?
The Serpent and the Rainbow?
I don't think it was used in a movie.
Okay.
Band
you know,
called
Voodoo.
That's the name of the song is Voodoo. And it's by a group called Godsmack.
Godsmack. Okay, I've heard of Godsmack. I haven't heard of that one. At first, I thought you were going to use Screaming Jay Hawkins.
No, that would have been great. Where
are
you?
Where the hell are you? That one?
We need to have a creative party one day, the four of us, offline. But
I put a spell on you.
Let's not have one now. Got a lot of radio.
Hello, CW. Blah, blah.
Hello, CW. Hello. Hello, Dave. Hello, Dale. Hello, Janine.
Hello.
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 Hello, everyone else.
Yeah, got some Inner Sanctum, Bold Venture, and Richard Diamond. Where shall we start tonight?
Oh, crap.
Perhaps a little singing detective.
Yeah,
sure. That's a good. That's a pretty good story. I was pretty happy with that one. That's a cool one.
All righty. This one's called Little Chiva. I'm Richard Diamond, private detective. And
yes.
Gar, I believe, has a original broadcast date.
I believe he does.
This one has an air date of March 23rd, 1951.
The makers of Camel cigarettes present Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, private detective. How mild can a cigarette be? One puff won't tell you. One sniff won't tell you. It takes day in, day out smoking to find out how mild a cigarette is, how well it agrees with your throat. Make the sensible cigarette test, the thorough test. Smoke only Camels for 30 days and see just how mild a cigarette can be. Here, transcribed, is Richard Diamond, private detective, starring Dick Powell. It was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was cold out, and it had been raining. When it got a little warmer, it would probably snow. The whole city was covered with a heavy sheet of ice, and the steam heat in my office gurgled and clouded up the windows. I was feeling pretty good. I was warm. I'd had one client in the past week, and my bank account was on its way to recovery, and a good breakfast in the drugstore downstairs had made me comfortable and drowsy. I put my feet up on the desk, leaned back in my chair, and closed my eyes.
Mr. Diamond?
I must have been napping and didn't know it. I hadn't heard the door open, but there he stood, framed in the door, resting his weight on the jamb, and looking across the room at me with tired eyes.
Mr. Diamond?
Yes, what can I do for you?
My name is Abel Gunther. I want to hire you.
All right, Mr. Gunther. I charge you $100 a day in expenses.
I don't think I can pay it. I can pay you some, but I don't think I can pay you that much.
Well, that's my fee for you or Rockefeller. I got expenses.
I see. Well, I'll keep looking. I need help. Perhaps you could recommend someone?
You'll pardon me for saying so, but you don't look too well, Mr. Gunther.
I'm pretty sick, Mr. Diamond.
Maybe you'd better sit down and tell me what your problem is.
I can't afford the money.
That's all right. Tell me about it anyway.
I think I had better sit down.
Yes, you better. What's wrong? You got the flu or something?
No. I'm afraid it's a little more serious. Would you really like to hear my story?
I think I really would.
I'm a farmer, Mr. Diamond. My home is Haiti, near Saint-Lazare.
Haiti?
Yes. The West Indies. I was born there, raised there. My parents died when I was 13. I have a wife. She's there now, and she's the main reason I have come here seeking help. My wife is dying, Mr. Diamond. I must get help quickly before it is too late. I have a farm.
He kept talking, telling me about his life on Haiti. He told me about his farm, a fairly good-sized farm by his description. He told me how in the past 2 years things began to go wrong on his farm, and soon all the farms in the area were also having trouble.
The cane fields would burn every year. Then it was the cattle. One by one, they became sick. Then my wife, and now me.
And you don't know what's wrong with either of you, huh?
Yes and no. My Christian religion fights it, but my life on Haiti has taught me deep respect for it.
Respect for what?
Voodoo, Mr. Diamond. Oh, I know just what you're thinking. But a doctor in Haiti has examined my wife and can find nothing wrong.
Well, I don't particularly believe in anything like that, Mr. Gunther. But if you do, why have you come to me?
I said I have a healthy respect for it. I don't entirely believe it, but some of the things I've seen make it difficult to disbelieve. I came to you because I suspect a possibility of something more. Immediately after my wife was taken ill, I received an offer for my farm, a very low offer from a Saint-Lazare banker. I investigated, found it had been made in the interests of one Arthur Cotswold.
Arthur Cotswold?
Haiti's biggest planter.
Oh. How about the other farmers?
They received offers like mine. Being the oldest farmer, the rest looked to me for guidance. I told them to wait. Then I came here to hire someone to look into the matter.
Would you like some water?
No. No, thank you. I'm all right.
Anyone else become ill besides you and your wife?
Yes. Several others. I have $368 in my ticket home. The money is yours if you will go to Haiti and investigate.
Have you been to a doctor here in New York?
No. Mr. Diamond here. Directions how to get to my farm. My servant, little Sheila, is there. No one knows I came.
Mr. Gunther. Mr. Gunther. Oh.
Levinson Homicide.
Hello, Walt.
Oh, Rick.
Yeah. Better get up to my office. I've got a dead man for you.
Are you kidding?
That's what Gunther told me.
Voodoo?
Voodoo, smoodoo. That's what the man said.
Now, steady, boy.
Oh, stop it, Walt. You know I don't believe it.
But you're going down to Haiti.
Well, somebody's got to tell the wife.
The local authorities can do that. Hey.
No, what's the matter?
The local authorities in Haiti. Why didn't Gunther go to them if he thought there was something phony about the setup?
You want an opinion?
If you can strain one out.
Well, Gunther probably didn't go to the Haiti authorities because he knew they'd think just what you're thinking.
Okay, so I'm crazy.
Well, Gunther died in my office. He came a long way for help, and the poor guy wanted to give me his last $368. So I'm going to Haiti. I'll send you a zombie. Walt promised to send a wire in care of the authorities in Saint-Lazare as soon as he got an autopsy report on Mr. Gunther, and I headed to the airline's ticket office. By 8 o'clock that evening, I was in an airline's flagship at 12,000 feet heading for the West Indies and Haiti. The trip wasn't bad. We landed in Miami, where I grabbed a cup of coffee and then climbed aboard a clipper for Port-au-Prince. At Port-au-Prince, I took a bus to Saint-Lazare, and from there a beaten-up taxi to the Gunther farm about 10 miles into the country. As we neared the farm, I could see a crowd of people standing around in front of the house. And as I climbed out of the cab and approached them, they turned and their hushed conversations were suddenly stilled. I didn't know what it was. No one said a word. But something was wrong. I could feel it. I walked through the crowd to the house and stopped cold as the door opened.
Who are you?
I'd never seen anything like him. He was a native and he ducked his head as he stepped out of the door to face me. He was a good 7 feet tall, or maybe more. He must have weighed close to 300. He stood on his bare feet, his long, muscled arms hanging loosely at his sides, and looked at me with dark, shining eyes.
Me, little Chiba. Who are you?
Oh, me, very little Richard Diamond. Mr. Gunther hired me to come here.
You from New York?
Yes. Mr. Gunther couldn't come back.
He died.
That's right. How did you know?
You come in?
Sure. What are all those people doing out there?
Their friend's madam. She died too.
Little Chiva led the way into the bedroom where Mrs. Gunther lay on the bed, covered with a fresh white sheet, her eyes closed in death, her face drawn and tired. Little Chiva told me she had died the day before, about 3 p.m, and a cold chill ran up my back. I remembered her husband lying on the floor of my office about 3 p.m, the day before.
What do you do here?
Mr. Gunther wanted me to find out why the cattle are getting sick, why the fields are burning, why he and his wife became ill.
Bad voodoo.
Well, he thought it might have something to do with a man named Cotswold.
He big man.
What are those drums?
For madam and mister. They voodoo. Good voodoo. Give blessing for spirit for madam and mister.
Oh. You see, little chief of the mister, Mr. Gunther wanted me to help him. He paid me money to help him and died asking for help. I'm going to try and do what I can.
The madam and mister good people teach little Chiva. They take little Chiva when he's small boy and make good life. You good man, little Chiva help you.
Right then, I inherited little Chiva. And if there was going to be any trouble, the giant servant would certainly help to make up the difference. The first thing I wanted to do was contact the local authorities in Saint-Léger. And little Chiva told me my man was one Inspector Laplanche.
A very fine person, Mr. Gunther. I'm sorry he's dead.
Well, how'd everybody know he was dead?
On Haiti, things of such nature are never a secret. The natives know.
Voodoo?
Being a stranger to Haiti, Mr. Diamond, I expect you to be a skeptic.
But you believe in voodoo?
Let us say I have been in Haiti too long not to believe.
Well, Gunther thought the whole thing might have something to do with a man named Cotswold.
I would suggest you forget Mr. Cotswold.
Then I suggest you give me a good reason to forget him.
Mr. Cotswold is a very big man on Haiti, the largest plantation owner in the West Indies, and a self-made man with a considerable temper.
Well, thanks for the advice, Inspector. But supposing I come up with something incriminating...
If Mr. Cotswold has breached the law, it would certainly be my duty to arrest him. But I am not considering the arrest. More, the necessary steps that would have to be taken to prove the guilt. Dangerous steps, Mr. Diamond. One might trip on those steps.
And break his neck.
Yes.
You like the middle of the road, huh?
It is much easier to see what is ahead.
It's possible to get run down from behind.
I do as much as I can to prevent that possibility. Example, my suggestion, you forget Mr. Cotswold.
I left the philosophical inspector and went outside where little Chiva had been waiting. Every time I looked at Chiva, it was like a little kid spotting the Empire State for the first time. He smiled a mouthful of white teeth as he said,
"The inspector, he say forget Mr. Cotswold."
That's right. What do you think, little Chiva?
I think I do what you want.
You know what I want?
You want to go see Cotswold.
Think I'm crazy?
You're not afraid. You're not strong like little Chiva. But little Chiva think of all the men he know, you would fight hardest.
I don't like to fight, little Chiva.
Little Chiva know that. We go see Cotswold.
Little Chiva led the way up a long, narrow road surrounded on both sides by high sugarcane fields. Somewhere from not too far away, I heard the drums start again. Little Chiva stopped, looked off to the north. He began moving his shoulders, slowly keeping time to the steady rhythm of the drums. He began to sing softly.
Oh, hey, oh, hey. Say, Papa Nuki, Papa say, oh, hey, oh, hey. Say, Papa Nuki, Papa say.
What does that mean, little Chiva?
It means in your language, it is our Papa who passes.
Papa?
Papa Dambala, the great source.
voodoo?
Yes. Later, I must leave you. Today is Wednesday. This is the day of Papa Dambala. Ohe, ohe, se Papa Nuti Papase.
He continued his little chant until we reached the beginning of a long, high fence running along next to the narrow road. Jiva leaned down and swung a gate open. Then we walked up the path that led through the Cotswold property until we reached the house. There, sitting back between two huge trees, was the Cotswold mansion. I walked up to the front door alone.
Mr. Diamond.
Yes, Jiva?
Watch out for Mr. Jocelyn. He guard Cotswold.
Thanks, I'll do that.
What do you want?
I want to see Cotswold.
You do, eh? What are you doing here, little Cheever?
I wait for Mister.
He found himself a new governor, what? You must be that fella Diamond.
I must be.
Well, come in. Mr. Cotswold's been expecting you.
He introduced himself as Jocelyn and led the way into a large panel study. And I met the big man himself, Arthur Cotswold. The drums stopped.
Today is Wednesday. It belongs to the great god Dambala.
So I understand.
Most days of the week are significant in voodoo. Will you have a drink, Mr. Diamond?
No, thank you.
Jocelyn, mix me a gin and tonic.
Yes, Mr. Cotswold.
Thursday and Saturday belong to Uzile Frida, the goddess of love.
I'll have to remember that.
I know why you are here, Mr. Diamond.
I'm glad you do.
For some reason, Gunther and the rest of the miserable farmers think I'm responsible for their trouble.
Of course you're not.
I simply tried to help them. With their cattle sick and their crops gone, I had my banker make them an offer.
Have any of your cattle taken sick?
None.
Pretty strange.
Haiti is a strange land.
Now, you're not going to start talking voodoo.
You're a stranger, Mr. Diamond. There are many things that you would not understand, and I would certainly not try and convert you.
Well, I appreciate your interest. But I intend to find out why Gunther and his wife died.
At this point, I would most certainly give you advice on. Go home, Mr. Diamond. Leave well enough alone.
After I come up with an answer.
Mr. Diamond, I am not a patient man. I have gone out of my way to give you some healthy advice. Heed it. For your sake, heed it.
No, thanks. I'll let you know what I find out.
You persist in this investigation?
I always persist. In fact, I'm the persistentist.
Before we continue with Richard Diamond, here are a few words about smoking enjoyment. The things we look for most in a cigarette are mildness and flavor. You'll find both of these things in Camels. Day after day and pack after pack. No other cigarette has Camel's rich, full flavor. The flavor of costly tobaccos properly aged and expertly blended. And no other cigarette gives you this proof of mildness. In a coast-to-coast test of hundreds of people who smoked only Camels for 30 days, noted throat specialists reported not one single case of throat irritation due to smoking Camels. Make your own 30-day Camel test. Not just a puff, not just a sniff, but normal smoking for about a month. You'll enjoy every puff, and you know without question how mild Camels are, how well they agree with your throat. Yes, and you'll see why. More people smoke Camels than any other cigarette.
How mild,
how mild,
how mild,
how mild,
how mild can a cigarette be? Take the Camel 30-day test and you'll see.
Smoke Camels and see.
It's so mild.
That's so mild.
Well. There goes Richard
Someone
Diamond
wanna
getting
pick
himself
up
in a mess.
Someone want to pick up
nice
the lung
for,
here?
Yeah. It's nice for Henrietta and the Nicorettes to sing the little song that goes along with it.
Yeah. It reminds me of talking with my grandmother. It's like, hi, Grandma.
Hey, how you doing over there? Give me a cigarette.
Oh, jeez. You hit that, Grandma, huh? Oh, Lord.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
sadly, most casinos still allow smoking, so you'll still see some people wheeling in their oxygen tank.
Where is this? where is
CCW? Remember
yes.
Night Court and Selma?
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Yeah, we're going to get the next case rolling here.
I think they had a cigarette lady on Mad TV, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, my God. Oh. So much
yeah.
fun.
Oh, my goodness. I'm surprised no one ever had. Did Rod Sterling ever, if we can harken back to the last show, did Rod Sterling ever get tapped on the shoulder to sell any? Because sadly, he would have been a great spokesman for them.
He did push Oasis cigarettes during the Twilight Zone. I've been watching some of them on Pluto TV, and they put the whole like ending on there, his intro for the next show, and in some cases he's hawking Oasis cigarettes. Yeah, he was a good. I'm your spokesman, Rod Serling.
My musical superhero Spike Jones, big smoker, and they were pushing.
Yeah.
Cigarettes. Lucky Strike, I think, for some of his programs.
Be happy. Go lucky.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And the fact that what I'm shocked at is Mr. Dick Van Dyke is still well and with us. If you watch the first season of The Dick Van Dyke Show, he and Mary Tyler Moore, they were pushing Kent cigarettes with the new asbestos tip.
Now that sounds yummy.
Man.
That he is still, he must have genetics I would happily kill for to be able to still get around totally coherent and still do a two-step.
His brother didn't get that, and his brother was younger than him.
Yeah, I know that. Jerry Van Dyke, I'm just wondering, you know, what happened? Some little hiccup in the genetic code there? They were both totally talented, though.
I always thought his brother was a hiccup in the genetic code, but I digress. at least the character he played on that show certainly did. He was missing a chromosome or two.
And I've always been leery of the Lipton asbestos flavored tea. I just kind of skipped over that, you know.
It's asbestos flavored tea, yeah. Yeah.
Boy, that sounds good for
me. Yummy.
It's not good for normal people, but for me.
Yeah. With a little lead paint for sweetness.
Right. Instead of creamer.
It gives that extra crunch. Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
I like Little Chiva. I like that character. Apparently, Richard Diamond does too.
Yeah,
it had me thinking of all the people nicknamed Tiny, and they're huge. You know, I was like, okay.
Yeah,
I get it. Sidebar. I got to tell you folks something. The week might not be good, and there's ups and downs and plateaus and all kinds of stuff. But once a week, when I get the opportunity to hang out with you folks, it is so much better.
Oh, I'm sorry.
we'll try harder.
Clearly.
We'll endeavor
I'm off
to...
my game.
I have to fight tooth and nail all week. I come here, and it's just so much fun.
Yeah,
well, this is your smoke-free oasis.
Mm-hmm.
It was. Not anymore.
He's puffing them down now, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
if he doesn't, I will.
I do. I know politicians who could smoke a cigarette out of each side of their mouth that they talk out of. Yeah, yeah.
They blow so much smoke, it's surprised I don't get colon cancer. But I digress. you like that? There you go. Thank you.
Ooh.
I'm here till 12. Or not.
I won't be, but okay.
Yeah, I haven't stayed up till 12 since Halloween. Or New Year's.
Midnight to witching hour.
And then flipping Flipping back over on topic, this actually kicks my mind into the gear of Mantan Moreland's Kingdom the Zombie film that everybody loves.
Oh, yeah. It's also reminiscent to me of a rarely discussed film, I Walked with a Zombie, one of those Val Luton, one of those Val Luton movies.
Was it the King of the Zombies where they started chanting Coco Bean, oh Coco Bean?
Oh Coco Bean, oh Coco Bean, oh Coco Bean, oh Coco Bean.
I don't recall the chants.
You know, I would just love to get one of these script writers from way back in the day, and where were they making up these words? Did they just say, you know, Ovaltine, 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 or something, or Chrysler, Chrysler?
Chrysler.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I just call them
less than subliminal
sponsors.
Advertising.
Yeah, I think
exactly.
It's called sponsors. Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, subliminal advertising.
That's awesome. He got a lot of radio.
If they had thought about that.
A lot of radio.
We do. This episode's a little long, so I'm getting a little. To be a bit of a clock watch. So let's move along and hit up part two with the conclusion of Little Chiva from Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
And now back to Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell. I left Arthur Cotswold cooling his fifth with a gin and tonic. Went back to Chiva, and he led me back to town. On the way, I got an idea. When we arrived in town, I sent Little Chiva back to the Gunther farm. Then I went in to talk to Inspector LaPlanche. The inspector had received a wire from one Lieutenant Walt Levinson, 5th Precinct, New York Police.
Well, I had no idea the New York police were interested in this affair.
They're always interested when someone drops dead. Now, here's something pretty interesting, Inspector.
Hmm?
Mr. Gunther died of a disease known as brucellosis, commonly known in cattle as Bang's disease. Ever heard of it?
I am not a medical man, Mr. Diamond.
Well, it's undulant fever. Both Gunther and his wife probably caught it from their sick cattle.
What do you intend to do?
Well, I think those cattle were infected deliberately, and the cane fields burned purposely. If the cattle were infected deliberately, there must be some of the brucellosis still around, and I'm going to find it. Maybe at Mr. Cotswold's. I think you better issue a search warrant and come with me.
Mr. Diamond, the middle of the road, remember?
I think you'd better forget the middle of the road, Inspector. Unless you want me to get in touch with the authorities and have you held as a material witness in a murder case.
I will issue the warrant.
I kind of thought you would.
I will issue it, but you certainly do not think it will be enough to get you into the Cotswold house?
No, but it'll make it legal. I sent Little Chiva back to collect some of his friends. They're going to help us get in that house, Inspector.
I will have no part of violence.
Oh, they won't even be with us. It would be easy to search the Cotswold place if Cotswold was out fighting a fire.
Fire?
Just a harmless fire, Inspector. But far enough away so that Cotswold will think it's his cane fields.
Oh, well, then I will certainly issue the warrant, Mr. Diamond. As long as we are going to do everything open and above board, I will certainly issue it.
Welcome back to the gutter, Inspector. The view isn't much, but you can't miss where you're going. Let's go get Little Chiva.
What are all those natives doing at the Gunthers?
I don't know.
Looks like something's wrong.
We piled out of the car and pushed our way through the crowd of natives. Inside the house, we found what was wrong. Lying in the middle of the room was Little Chiva. He was almost dead when I knelt beside him.
I talked to friends. They light fire for you.
Thanks, Chiva.
Now, Dumbalo Wedo take me.
He's been stabbed.
And he cut him in two. They got him from behind. Never would have faced him.
You stay. You see, Wetelenon Tete Yamort.
See what? It is a ritual. It means taking the spirit from the head of the dead. He wants you to see it.
You stay. You believe voodoo.
All right, Chiva. I'll stay.
Now, who did this to you?
Nazi. In back.
He's dead. The next few hours I'll never forget. The inspector knew what was coming, and he wanted no part of it, so he waited outside. I don't know whether I can describe it, but I'll try. And even though I saw it with my own eyes, I still don't quite believe it. The natives came into the house and picked up Little Chiva. They placed him on a bench and the ceremony began. Some of them had already obtained the necessary items used for Waiti Loa Non Teti Yum Mort. They included several live pigeons, olive oil, 30 pieces of fat pine wood, a pair of chickens, some coarse cornmeal and a saddle blanket, and a large white plate. Little Chiva's body was covered with a blanket, and then the pigeons were killed and cooked without seasoning. The cornmeal was roasted, then placed in the white plate. The 30 slivers of pine wood were lighted and carried by the natives like candles. Then one of the natives took the white plate with the meal in one hand, and the pot with the chicken in the other, and approached the fire, chanting a strange dirge. I nearly ran out of the screaming Nimis. As he finished the last line of the chant, the dead body of Little Chiva sat straight up with straining eyes, bowed its head, and fell back.
You look a little pale, Mr. Diamond.
Well, I can't understand why. Probably because my blood's hiding in my feet.
What do you think of voodoo now?
Well, let's forget it, shall we? I haven't got the money for a good rest home.
Yeah. We are close to the Cotswolds.
Good. Let's park it here and wait until the fire starts. The inspector and I sat in the car and waited while the moon climbed up over the clouds and the drums in the distance tangled my nerves into complete knots. After about an hour of waiting, a dull glow to the south started the expected commotion in the Cotswold household, and we climbed out of the car.
Fire, Mr. Cotswold! The cane field! Fire! Hit the sevens! Get every man out there to fight that fire!
It had worked. The inspector and I stayed to the shadows until the last man went running out of the house. Then we went in. We worked as fast as we could. We took the place apart. Then I must say, the timid inspector had really gotten out of the middle of the road. He tore the place apart like he'd spent most of his time on a wrecking crew.
I have not found a thing.
Oh, the house is clean.
There's a barn.
Then let's go. We went out of the house and headed for the barn about 50 yards away. The drums were louder now, and the dull glow of the fire had nearly vanished. It was obvious that the inspector and I had to work fast. He took one end of the barn, and I took the other. We worked toward each other. Just about the time I was ready to give the whole thing up.
Diamond! Diamond!
Inspector, you find something?
This hypodermic for cattle.
No, that's not enough.
This bottle hidden under this box?
Well, it's more like it. Let's get it back to town and have it analyzed.
That won't be necessary, Mr. Diamond.
Cotswold.
It was Cotswold. And he had three things on his side that made the situation very uncomfortable. His bodyguard, Jocelyn, and two guns. They stepped through the open door and moved up to us.
I see you found my secret, Mr. Diamond.
This is the stuff you've been infecting the cattle with. And this is what killed the Gunthers.
That's correct. You see, you should have really taken my advice and returned to the States.
You'll be held for murder, Cotswold.
Who will convict me, Mr. Diamond? No evidence, no one to testify. I'm surprised at you, Inspector. I thought you had more sense.
Sometimes a man finds his pride and does the best thing.
You know, of course, I can't allow either of you to live.
We had a hunch. Now, tell me something. Who killed Little Chiva?
He was getting to be a nuisance. I had Jocelyn here attend to the matter.
What's that? Diamond.
Mr. Cosworth, look!
Well, now, I want to tell you, I'd seen a lot that day, but that was just a little too much. The howl had come from the open door, and standing in it, framed against the yellow moon...
It's him! It's Little Chiva!
No! No!
But there he was,
and he looked even bigger as he shuffled toward the two men, his arms swinging at his sides like two giant sledgehammers. He was going all the way. He hadn't just come back from the dead to sit up. He was taking a walk.
Get away. Get away. You're dead. Shoot him. Shoot him.
But Jocelyn was too terrified to even raise his arm. The big native reached out, grabbed him with both hands, and crushed him like an egg.
God.
For a minute, I was too stunned to move. Then when I saw Cotswold bring up his gun, I threw the bottle. It stopped him long enough for the big native to drop Jocelyn's limp body and charge in. Like an idiot, I had some stupid reason for wanting Cotswold alive, so I tried to head Chiva off. Ever try to stop a freight train with both hands out? He brushed me off, and I crashed into the wall just as he grabbed Cotswold.
No! No!
He picked him up, raised him high over his head, and threw him the length of the barn.
Diamond, he's coming over here.
Now, look, old boy. It's me. It's me, Diamond. Little Chiva, please, I...
Me not, little Chiva.
What?
I should have guessed.
Should have guessed what? What is this?
This is Big Chiva.
Big Chiva?
Oui, me little Chiva's brother. Me pay back for kill little Chiva.
Oh, good gosh.
I never thought I...
Oui, me Big Chiva. Come, I take you back to Gunther House. Little Chiva, say you good man. I be your servant.
Well, if you don't mind, I just think I'll head back for the States and lie in a warm tub of mud for the next 6 months. Tell me something, Big Chiva.
What do you want?
You don't have a big brother, do you?
Dick Powell will return in just a minute. More doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette, according to a repeated nationwide survey. Doctors in every branch of medicine, doctors in all parts of the country, have again been asked what cigarette they smoked. Again, the brand named most was Camel. Yes, according to this survey, more doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette. Friends, try Camels and discover for yourself the reasons behind Camel's great popularity. You'll enjoy Camel's rich flavor and cool mildness pack after pack and week after week.
How mild,
how mild,
how mild,
how mild,
how mild can a cigarette be? Make the Camel 30-day test and you'll see.
Smoke Camels and see.
Here's Dick Powell with a special message.
Thank you. Friends, nothing can boost your morale like a gift, especially if you're in a hospital bed. That's why the Camel people send gift cigarettes each week to hospitalized servicemen and veterans in this country and overseas. This week, Camels are on their way to Veterans Hospitals, Rutland Heights, Massachusetts, and Lyons, New Jersey, U.S. Naval Hospital, Quantico, Virginia, and to all hospitals operated by the Far East Command of the U.S. Air Force. Now until next week, enjoy Camels. I always do.
Men, has your pipe got your tongue? Well, switch to Prince Albert, the National Joy Smoke. PA's Choice Tobacco is specially treated to insure against tongue bite. Yes, and it's crimp cut, too, for smooth, burning, and cool smoking. Get Prince Albert, rich, flavorful, and with a delightful natural fragrance. It's America's largest selling smoking tobacco. Listen next week for another exciting transcribed adventure of Richard Diamond, starring Dick Powell. This is your FBI. The official broadcast from the files of the FBI follows immediately. Stay tuned. This program came to you from Hollywood. This is the American Broadcasting Company.
And that was the conclusion of Little Chiva, Big Chiva, and Medium-Sized Chiva.
Mm-hmm.
With menthol.
And all the little Chivas. Yes.
And all the little Chivas.
All the baby Chivas. Yep.
Exactly. Oh, and to all the service people, guard, tell me, when you were in the service, were they quoting that smoke 'em if you got 'em thing?
When I was in the military, I was on a ship, and we had the smoking lamp is now lit, or the smoking lamp is now out. And when it was out, you couldn't smoke a cigarette until they announced you could.
Somehow I could have stowed away on there, I would have broke the smoking thing so everyone would have been very grumpy and no smoking.
Yeah.
Our
grumpy anyway.
The last thing our drill sergeant would say in basic training before turning us out to brief, very brief periods of free time, he would say, smoke them if you got them. If you ain't got them, get a friend. If you ain't got no friend, you ain't smoking.
Okay.
Okay, get to the point.
I did. Yeah. Back in my military days, there was a lot of smoking. There was just smoking, card playing. Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot going on. Well, every once in a while, you know, you got to shoot something. But other than that, you know, it was a whole lot of smoking.
Well, now, I guess, you know, combat is pretty much the same, except you don't have cigarettes, except everyone's saying, wait a minute. Here, we are under attack. I got to get the Wi-Fi back on. I was on Twitter. Hang on. Just wait. Come away.
Yeah.
Hey, before
exactly.
we get
yeah.
too far away from it, before you get too far away from it, Dale, we should get another one of those gems of GARs.
Yes. Oh, indeed. Indeed.
I got one.
It's almost like I was scrolled into place here. Eerie House Radio proudly presents or regrettably brings you GARs, moral of the story.
Most plots and plans that are based in greed do not end well. Voodoo helps.
You get a zip
scrap. Voodoo helps.
That's right.
There you go.
You get a voodoo.
I have to admit that during this last show, I received a very sad text. A very
Uh-oh.
Sad
Oh,
text.
No.
Uh-oh.
It does seem that the inventor of autocorrect has died. And
oh,
it
right.
goes on to say that it goes on to say that the funnel will be held tomato.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah,
I like it.
Revenge.
Like it. No, not that he died,
but the funnel will be held tomato. That's right.
The funnel will be held tomato. Yes.
Yeah.
That's
yep.
right.
Funnel.
So don't be late for your tomato.
Yep. Yep. Don't be latte.
Yeah, and bring your funnel.
Oh my!
As I used to do when drinking rum, bring your funnel.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay.
That's
okay.
a whole other story there.
That's oh
that is
my!
A different story. Yeah.
Yeah. Long ago and far away.
Hey, we do have a lot of radio though, Dale.
Yeah,
oh,
we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do.
Well, yes, we do.
Probably should jump right into Bold Venture. What do you think? How about a little
sure,
Bogey
yeah.
and McCall?
A little bit of Humphrey
yeah.
Bogart and Bogey and Baby. Why not?
Yep. They abandoned
story.
The series after about a year and a half, just because Bogey wasn't interested anymore. He lost interest.
Well, it was a program that they paid for and syndicated themselves. They made a ton of money off of this.
Yeah,
they were tired of making money? I guess.
Actually, they make so many episodes and it runs for years. And, you know, when somebody else
right.
is done with it, somebody else picks it up. So, yeah.
Some information I gleaned said that they got the proceeds and the proceeds were used as a trust fund for their firstborn or something like that.
I think they had... Well, I know she had a son with her second husband, Jason Robards. Another child, rather. So I don't know if they had two children together, Bogey and Bacall, but I know they did have a son. But I know she had at least two children on her herself.
Yeah.
I suppose the
yeah,
guys
I,
had
yeah.
something to do with that, but I digress.
A little bit, yeah. Bogey had a kid late in his life, like in his 60s or 70s.
Dirty old man.
He was quite a bit older than she was. He was.
Yeah, and that lasted. I'm surprised. I guess that, you know, it. You never can tell. It lasted until he passed away.
Yeah. Yep. And she was just absolutely knockout gorgeous. I love her voice. And it's great to hear both their voices in this.
Wasn't Tony Randall like 80 years old when he became a father again?
I believe he had a young wife. Yeah.
I think he was like 80 years old. It was,
wow.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Good.
It does occur.
Paints a horrible picture in my mind, though.
Still had those swimmers, man. still had those swimmers, yep.
It's a horrible picture in my mind. Oh,
Dale.
How do you know if it's a wrinkle or, well, anyway, let's
move on to
Bold Venture. Voodoo Vendetta,
Air Date. Yeah, air date December 10, 1951.
You betcha.
Bold Venture. Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance, starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. Together in the sultry setting of tropical Havana and the mysterious islands of the Caribbean, Bold Venture. Magic names of Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall bring you Bold Venture and a tale of mystery and intrigue.
The thing to consider when you've got to sleep is the bed not narrow, is the pillow deep? And you wake up in the morning, breakfast in Havana, with cereal do they serve a fresh banana. I offer these suggestions so that you will know that if you're ever in Havana, the place to go is a hotel known as Shannon's Place. Nice bed for your body, good food for your face.
That's a philosophy that should be spread around, King.
True, Lady Sailor, but in Shannon's Place tonight, there are not many philosophers.
You turn on the neon side outside, King?
Yes, Mr. Slate.
Hey, you happy now, Sailor? You convinced me to put up a neon sign out front. You said customers would flock to the place. How do you like that? A new neon sign with the biggest arrow in Havana. King, go out and make sure that arrow is pointed in the right direction.
You'd better do it, King. We're too close to the harbor to take chances. There'd be a lot of wet tourists if...
Here comes a dry one.
Yeah. Looks warm, too. Hello.
I'm looking for Mr. Shannon.
I'm Miss Duval. I handle his business. Is there something I can do for you?
Oh.
I'm Slate Shannon, Miss...
Mrs. Ramsey. I've heard you have a boat.
That's right. The Bold Venture.
And I've heard it's for hire.
With me in it.
I'm cabin boy.
I'll give you $200 to take us to Zapata Swamps. My husband owns a tobacco plantation there. There'll be my husband, me, and Dr. Barton.
Sounds all right, doesn't it, Sailor?
I don't know. Mrs. Ramsey looks like she hasn't finished talking yet.
There's only one thing more to say. My husband always wished to be buried on a hammock in Zapata.
See? I told you to listen, Slate.
My husband's in a coffin. My husband's dead.
You, Alice?
Yes. What are you doing in our rooms, Len?
Your husband invited me. He got lonely waiting for you. Asked me to play cribbage with him. I did.
His favorite game. A game for the old. Where is he?
Asleep in the next room. It was too much for him, the game, being without you. He tires easily these days, doesn't he, Alice?
That's a wife's observation, not a doctor's.
You always refresh my reasons for adoring you.
Thank you, Len.
The way you keep calling me doctor when you know I was branded for malpractice. The way you let me pretend to the natives at the plantation. The times you've let me put my hand on your lips.
Thank you, Len, for saying it so gently. Well, it's all arranged. Mr. Shannon agreed. I made a condition, though.
What was it?
That my husband would be dead. There's a knife in the desk drawer, Len. Will you get it for me, please?
Anything you ask. Here, Alice.
Thank you. He died quietly. You're a doctor, Lynn. Take care of the details. I don't want to keep Mr. Shannon waiting. How much farther to Zapata, Mr. Shannon?
Well, that's the Isle of Pines right off the starboard bow. About an hour more.
Is Miss Duval able to handle this boat, too?
Uh-huh.
She'd rather sit on the forward deck and talk to Dr. Barton now, Mr. Shannon. Do I bother you, talking to you like this while you're steering?
No, go ahead, talk. The thing that bothers me is that all this time you haven't said what I wanted you to.
I don't understand.
Well, it suddenly occurs to me that you're a widow.
Yes.
And you don't grieve.
My husband was an old man. I'm sure he's been given his share of tears sometimes during his life.
Was he ill for very long before he died?
Oh, he died suddenly. I put a knife in his heart.
Yes, that'll do it to an old man every time. We're going back to Havana, Mrs. Ramsey.
Oh, no. The reason for not going is in the back of your head. It's only a small gun.
Well, as long as it's a little one.
Cut your engines, Mr. Shannon. Do it. Thank you. Please. After me.
What's the big idea turning off your engines, say?
The customer's always right. Look over my shoulder, sailor, and see what you can see.
Don't bother, my dear. Mrs. Ramsey is holding a gun at the back of his head.
Are you ready, Lynn?
Yes.
Help him, Mr. Shannon. With the coffin. It's heavy, so it will sink. You can lift an end of it. Now, carry it over to the side. You're a sea captain, Mr. Shannon. Would you like to say a few words?
I'm sorry for him.
And so are we all. Now give him to the sea. Take us to Zapata, Mr. Shannon. I can make your life on my plantation very pleasant, Mr. Shannon, Miss Duval. You'll see.
What more could we ask for, Slate? A home in a swamp, jungle drums for dinner music, a hostess with her husband in the deep blue sea. What more?
We're living, baby.
For as long as you wish it. Oh? You already picked out a couple of hummocks for us? Make mine with camellias. What's a hummock?
A mound of dried earth in Zapata Swamp. We bury our dead in them.
As long as Sailor and I behave ourselves, no funeral parties, huh, Alice?
Exactly. You're to make no attempt to tear yourselves away from me. No attempt to communicate with Havana.
Nothing gained, nothing ventured, I always say.
What?
Well, don't let it throw you, Mrs. Ramsey. Sailor learned that making daisy chains at Vassar.
Please understand me, you two. I murdered my husband because I like it without him. I won't have it spoiled. Don't try to escape from me, because all it will bring you is an ugly dying.
I like it the way Sailor said. How's that go again, Sailor?
Nothing gained, nothing ventured. There's more to it, but I forget.
Senora Ramsey.
What are you doing here, Fuego? Get back to your quarters.
The drums of my people, they have not made you wonder, Senora. Where is Senor Ramsey?
How did you know? How could you know a thing like that?
To us, the natives, to us, the workmen, such things come on the black wings of a bird, in the sound of sand washed by the sea. Our master is dead, Senora, because he was old, because you had hate for him.
No. She killed him. That one standing there.
Hey, what is it?
She killed him, put a knife in him out of jealousy, out of rage. Believe it, Fuego, believe it.
Calm yourself, Senora Ramsey.
She's crazy, Fuego. She's trying
to... You, too, must bring calm to yourself, Senorita. For if you have killed our master, you are forever the
child of Zapata Swamps.
You think you can get away now, you two? Try. Try. You know what else they taught me in girls' school, Slate? They told me the shortest distance between two points was a straight line. They were joshing me, huh?
No, sailor, that's on the level.
Well, the shortest distance between the house and the boat was a straight line down the pier. Why didn't we take it?
Remember Fuego, the bitter native?
Made a lasting impression.
I got a feeling he and his boys would have spotted us walking hand in hand down a moonlit pier. There's a footbridge over the swamps. We cross it, cut back along the coast to the pier, get the boat.
You dribbled a crystal ball, and that's what you came up with, huh?
Well, the doctor told me about it. Laughed when he told me. I wonder why.
Oh, he's a chuckler, that one.
Wait. Ah, there's the bridge, sailor, through the clearing, just like he told me.
Now you know why he laughed.
Yeah. A misstep, sailor, and we land in the swamp. That stuff pulls you in, up to your shoulders, closes your mouth.
No swamp's going to do that to me. After you, kid.
Yeah. Why do you always pick on me to be brave, sailor?
It sways, doesn't it? I said it sways.
Well, don't talk. You might say a heavy word. Ah, you can talk now, sailor. We made it.
You and your foot bridge. Ooh.
What kind of talk is that?
Something in my shoulder, Slate. It stings. It even hurts.
What? Hey, let me have a look. A dart. A native dart. I'm going to pull it out. Hold on to something.
You'll do. Oh. Colorful, isn't it? Colorful feathers. Colorful... Hey, that color is me.
Come on. We're going back to the house.
You crazy? I'm all right. Just a pinprick, that's all.
Natives have a way with pinpricks. I'll carry you back. Take the offer, sailor. If you don't, you may never hear it again.
You did exactly right by bringing her back here, Mr. Shannon.
How do you feel, sailor?
I'm all right. It's only a scratch. We should have cleared out while we had a chance.
You know, you might die from that scratch, Miss Duval.
Slate, do something about her, will you?
You sure you feel all right?
Sure, I'm sure. I've had worse jabs than this from a sewing machine. She's just trying to frighten us with all this.
I'll get it.
For the lady stranger, give it to her.
Has Native come to apologize?
He brought this for Miss Duval. Just what I need to cuddle up with. A rag doll.
Hey, let me see it. Throw it away, Mrs. Ramsey.
Slate, why?
Because the rag doll looks like you. Because there's a pin stuck through it.
So what? Maybe it was made by a forgetful seamstress.
Voodoo, sailor. A doll like that means... I'll forget it.
It means death.
That laugh.
Very
good. Baby's in trouble. Baby's in trouble.
Yep.
Uh-oh.
Telling baby's in trouble. She's in trouble.
When did you folks first hear about curare, the poison?
I don't know.
Is that what they got her with?
Possibly. That's one of them.
That's pretty instantaneous death, isn't it?
Well, it's a paralysis, yes.
Depends on how you use it, just like digitalis is from the foxglove plant. Yes, yours truly took botany classes for all the good it ever did her.
you could handle unruly people that way.
Yes, indeedy. I should become a herbalist. That seems to be the popular thing nowadays, with that particular herb becoming more and more legal as we speak.
The digitalis or curare?
I'm talking about the recreational variety.
Yeah.
That stuff.
I think it's called cannabis or something.
Cannabinoid.
That reefer madness sort of thing. You know what I mean?
Phenomena.
Oh, yeah, those reefers, man. They keep them on the top shelf.
All these nice pharmaceuticals that we have came from people who were using these wide variety of ritual drugs and whatnot. Your basic aspirin came from willow bark. Again, digitalis is from the foxglove plant and all these other things. You have feverfew that is actually used to break fevers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Tobacco has no use, except it's useless.
I think Bob Newhart had a pretty good routine with tobacco, where Sir Walter Raleigh was calling back to England to tell him to try and explain this tobacco thing he discovered over here. Absolutely hilarious. From that button down mind of Bob Newhart.
He was something.
Absolutely. Incredible dry wit. I loved it.
He could have been British.
He did something on Mad TV, that's the most recent thing I recall, and it's decades old. And someone said he was curing them of some phobia or some problem psychologically. And the person said, "What about constantly having to wash your hands?" And he was like, "Oh, no, that's fine. I do that all the time."
I think it's amazing. As much time as Bob Newhart spent on television with a stand-up show, being on the Dean Martin show, having the Bob Newhart show, and then all those shows he did. He never got an Emmy till he was on a special guest on the Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
Wow.
That is insane.
Absolutely amazing.
That's insane.
Yeah.
As much as that man did for television, it wasn't until he was a special guest on Big Bang Theory.
Crazy. I recall the button down mind of Bob Newhart was an LP out there years ago.
And Button Down Mind Strikes Back. I have, I think, just about all of his vinyl right in the collection behind me here. So,
Dave, you have all the vinyl, period.
I liked it when he did those
movies, The Librarian, if you remember that, when he was one of the librarians in that secret library. Did anyone catch it?
Oh, really? Okay, yeah.
Jeez.
That's a flashback. I like that series. It's too bad it ended.
It is.
I'm not familiar with that.
But we haven't ended our radio program yet, but we need to. Here comes part two of Voodoo Venda from Bold Venture.
To Bold Venture, our stars Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, and the second act of our story.
Look, Doctor, just paste a bandage on me and go away. Slate will take care of your bill.
Alice will take care of it.
He's a chuckler, Slate. I told you.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about a thing.
Excellent advice, Mr. Shannon. I couldn't have given better myself.
Then you mean Sailor's going to be all right?
Did I say that?
What are you building for yourself, Doc? You think I'll make good copy for the medical journals? What's the laugh? They might name a disease after me.
I was only laughing, Mr. Duval, because in your medical circles, my diagnosis would be worth it.
They snubbed you, huh? Pointed fingers at you.
Deeper than that, Mr. Shannon. They ousted me for malpractice.
You still want my opinion?
Tell him no, Slate. A doctor that can't even endorse a cigarette. Tell him no.
He's all we've got, Sailor.
The dart that was thrown into the lovely shoulder of Miss Duval was immersed in a native poison, brewed by the natives, held close by the natives, almost sacred to them.
Gee, I'm flattered. Sacred poison's just for me.
You'll grow weaker by stages, Miss Duval. The drowsiness you feel now, the first symptom. After that, a lassitude, a lethargy.
No, it won't happen that way. You'll see to it, huh, Barton?
It's out of my hands. It's a native poison, and the antidote is a native one, too.
You can get it.
And die for my trouble? No, that's reserved for Miss Duval, for killing Alice's husband, the Master Ramsay, remember?
Get out.
Your death doll, Miss Duval. Hug it close to you. It may bring you comfort.
You do it so gently, Slate, the damp cloth on your lady's brow.
Quiet. She's asleep.
So gently. I envy her.
I told you she's asleep. Keep quiet.
Good. The things I need to say to you should be whispered.
Whisper them to me outside.
Anywhere you want.
Right here in the hall, where I can hear Sailor if she calls out to me.
She's dying, Slate. Before long, she won't even be able to shape your name on her lips.
Off the dime, Alice. What's so important it needs whispering to me?
Look through this window, the plantation. From that cliff there to the east, it stretches out below you like a kingdom, an empire.
Gives you goosebumps, huh, kid?
Go there, Slate. Look at it. Let it lie at your feet. Because it's yours.
You're gaining on me, Alice.
What good is a dead girl to you, Slate?
Well, she could make a nice memory.
I could wipe the memory out of your eyes. Off your mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, you could. How do I get to that cliff?
Len will take you there. On horseback. A kiss to seal the bargain, Slate.
Now don't rush me, kid. Let me look over the farm first, huh?
How do you like it, Mr. Shannon? Look down and consider it.
Yeah, quite a plantation.
But it really doesn't impress you, does it?
What's to impress? Up here, all I can see is swamp and tobacco plants. What does a man do here? Take a hot bath in the swamp and roll himself a cigarette in a grocery bag?
Don't shake a finger at it. You might inherit it.
Did you slip that long, thin ear of yours under the door, Barton?
Alice is susceptible to you.
What about you?
It's a shame about me. I love Alice. Let's dismount, Mr. Shannon. There's something I want to show you. Oh, oh.
All right. Oh, there. Whoa, boy. Oh, what do you want to show me?
Mr. Shannon.
It's on your mind, Doc.
I love Alice. You excite her.
Yeah, I learned by mail. What do you want to show me, Doc?
Yes. Down there. See? To the left, those unpainted huts. The natives live there.
All I see is swamp.
There, behind that small rise. There, Mr. Shannon.
You're out of your mind.
I love her. I love her.
And take it easy.
I'll kill you. You've got
not
to
that
die.
Easy.
You are!
Sure you love her, Doc. But you didn't have to die for her.
You should be lying down, Miss Duval. What? You look drowsy. You should be lying down. What do you want here? Don't exert yourself. Can I do something for you? Yes. Yes, you can. That water pitcher there on the table. Why don't you get it? Don't you have strength enough? You're kidding. See? It's just that I'm not used to drinking water from a glass. You're going to die, Miss Duval. I'm sorry for you. This place is a paradise, but there'll only be Slate Shannon to enjoy it. Slate been giving you the business, dearie? Has he? Slate? Yes. Go on, Miss Duval. Faith, he'll take care.
Hello. You there. You with the drum. What's the matter? Don't you like to talk to a man and a horse? All right. How about now? To a man not on a horse. Now, look. The only reason I rode down here was...
Oh, what reason?
I've been looking for you, Fuego.
Oh, what reason?
To save a girl's life.
Soon she will belong to death.
You can help her.
And why?
She had nothing to do with killing Ramsey. It was his wife and that doctor.
The doctor?
There's no use asking him. He's dead.
It was seen. That of you and the doctor.
I'm trying to make you understand.
The Master Ramsey was good.
Now look, you've got to believe me. Sailor had nothing to do with Ramsey's dying.
Chonga! Rika!
Hey, what is this?
They call your boy dog. You could die now, and the swamp would never return you. Now, you will go with us.
Fuego, what are you doing with Mr. Shannon?
In there. Stay.
Okay. Okay, Fuego. I got the idea.
What happened to you, Slade?
Your workman worked me over.
Let me hold you, Slade. I told you not to try to leave me.
Get away from me.
All right. Where's Lynn?
Dead.
Natives?
Me. Slipped out of my hands.
That's good for us. It makes it all so simple. Lynn was going to be a problem. Now Lynn isn't anything. You're hurt, Slate. I can take care of your hurt.
I'll just sit over there and relax.
You'll see how well I can take care of you. You'll see.
I heard voices. I came in here to see if they were mine.
Sailor. Sailor. Your face is burning up.
Slate? You're Slate?
Sure. Sure, it's Slate. Are you going to be all right? You should be lying down. Here, I'll carry you to the couch.
Don't go away from me, Slate.
Why would I want to do that? Shut up!
Don't go away from me, Slate.
Don't you know that girl is dying? Shut up.
Oh, this is the first time you've touched me, Slate, and I like it. I like it.
Don't you know what's happening to us?
Please. Slate, don't take your hands away.
Those natives. We're prisoners here.
What did you tell them?
I told them you killed your husband.
They didn't believe you. Look what they've done to you and to her.
And to you. You can't get out of here either.
You're crazy. I can go out there.
Go ahead.
All right. You see, Slate?
Oh. What's wrong, Alice? You afraid of knives tossed at you? It's a native game, mumbly peg.
But they think she killed my husband.
Maybe I changed their minds.
You fool! You could have had it all. You could have had me, this place, everything.
I'm choosy, so kill me.
They'll do it.
Here, Alice. Here's what came through the window. A stuffed doll. Your face, your clothes. With a pin in its heart.
I'll get a gun. Gunrack. Key, where's the... I need the key. He hid it. He kept it from me. Let me think. I've got the sink. Oh, I know. I remember. I know where it is. Here. I'll kill them, all of them. Out of my way, Slater. I'll kill you where you stand. You'll die. You'll die. I'll kill you like I killed him. No. No. Not the knife!
Right through the heart.
Slate, Shannon.
Whatever you're going to do to me, Fuego, I want to be with Sailor.
D. This we know. That is why I have come to cure her, to give her this, so that you may go away from here together.
Sailor, what are you doing out here on the patio? You know you should still be in bed.
I can't stay in bed. I feel too good.
Being home did that to you, huh?
Your taking care of me did that.
What's that you got, Sailor?
A doll. Look at it.
Looks like me.
Oh, cuter. I did over a few features.
Where'd you get it?
Made it. Out of some hay, an old coconut shell, and a burlap bag.
Hey, what's this sticking in his heart?
A safety pin.
For what?
To keep you safe. Come here, Slate.
Fellow would never know you'd been sick. Welcome home, Sailor.
And so our two stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, have brought to a close our latest Bold Venture story. Special music was composed and conducted by David Rose. May we invite you to listen again next week at this time for another exciting adventure starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall together in Bold Venture.
And a bold venture it was, starring Bogie and Bacall. Bet we could learn something. I bet.
Bet you
could. Yep.
Oh, yes?
Yeah. Erie House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story.
Making a patsy isn't easy. Especially if your name isn't Patsy.
Probably more time than I wanted to waste because we got to cram in one more great program. Inner Sanctum, one of my...
Yep, and Carter, before you give the date, let's let everybody try see if they can figure it out what the date is on this one.
Sure.
All right. We'll let it fly. we'll give Gar the day off. Island of Death from Inner Sanctum from way back.
Following Japan's declaration of war on the United States, Hawaii has been under two air attacks today. More than 10 persons were wounded when enemy planes machine gunned a town near Honolulu, according to a Reuters dispatch. And General Douglas MacArthur has ordered all women and children in Manila to evacuate the seacoast and move to areas inland. The Dutch East Indies has just declared war on Japan, and Costa Rica in South America has also declared war. Keep tuned to this station for further developments.
Inner Sanctum Mystery. Brought to you by the makers of Carter's Little Liver Pills, the best friend to your sunny disposition.
Good evening, friends. This is Raymond, your host, welcoming you again to the Inner Sanctum. Come in, won't you? Why am I smiling? Oh, but I always smile when I open the creaking door on Sunday night. You see, each week when I say good evening, I think to myself, a good evening for what? And of course, there's only one answer to that question. A good evening for a murder.
Tonight, Inner Sanctum Mysteries brings you The Island of Death, an original radio mystery drama written by Robert Newman
and presented for your entertainment by the makers of Carter's Little Liver Pill. Friends, a pleasant disposition shouldn't be just a once-in-a-while affair. It ought to be a regular thing. See if you can't make it regular by encouraging regularity with Carter's Little Liver Pill. Let them wake up the flow of one of your most vital digestive juices and prove to yourself that Carter's Little Liver Pills are the best friend to your sunny disposition.
Now I think we're ready to begin. Ready to begin as strange and terrible a tale as ever turned a man's hair gray overnight. A tale of voodoo, conjuring, black magic. Oh, now you're smiling. You don't believe in voodoo, huh? Good. Now turn down the lights, pull your chair up close, and listen to the story of the Island of Death. Come with me to the Dark Island, the secret magic island, Tahiti. It is night. A fierce tropical storm is raging. The car drives slowly down the road with a cane field on one side of it, a jungle on the other.
Now which way?
I don't know, Jim.
Blast Brandon. Why did he let us go off alone? How are we going to get back there?
But he told us not to go off alone, John. John, look.
Where?
Ahead there. That old native walking up the road. Maybe he can...
Yeah. Hey! Hey, you! Hey! Now, what's the matter with him? Is he deaf? Now, you keep blowing the horn while I put my coat on and go after Muriel.
All right, Jim. Well, there's something wrong with it.
Hey.
It doesn't work.
Well, it was working just a minute ago. Now, what in the name of...
Something, monsieur.
Oh, so you did hear me. Why didn't you come when I call you?
I am not in the habit of coming when I'm called that way, monsieur. Besides... Though I am an old man, my ears are very sensitive. The noise of your horn pained me. That's why I stopped it.
You stopped it? Why, you? Well, okay. We're looking for the plantation of St. Jacques. Are we on the right road?
You are on the right road for many things, Monsieur Cole.
Right. How did you know my name?
It was told me.
Oh. Well, how do we get there?
If you go down this road 1 mile, you will see it on your right. And when you get there, well, perhaps we will meet again.
If we do, I'll... Hey, where did he go to?
Oh, I don't know. He just disappeared.
Step back off the road into the jungle. Well, at least we know where we are now.
Yes. John.
Hey.
Do you suppose he was a papaloi, a witch doctor?
What on earth makes you think that?
I don't know. The way he looks and talks. But after all, the horn did stop working.
Coach? Is that you, Coach?
No, Alan. It's me.
Muriel. What are you? Sorry, Mrs. Coach.
Alan, do we have to make things even more difficult than they are already.
Would it make things any easier if I pretended that we were just old friends? It didn't matter to me that you'd married him instead of me.
No, Alan, I guess not.
I'm sorry, Muriel. I... Hello, Alan. Order me a drink, will you?
Of course.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Cook.
Yes, Monsieur Randall. I was.
Did you find out what was wrong with the horn?
Yeah, one of the wires had come loose. Met an old native on the road, and Muriel's convinced that he was a witch doctor.
But it's just that he was so strange, and, well, even though I know that there are no such things...
What we know or believe isn't terribly important. What is important is what the natives believe. They don't like being laughed at.
You mean they really still believe in voodoo, stuff like that?
Well...
Here are your drinks, monsieur.
Up here. Do you believe in voodoo?
But naturally, monsieur.
Oh, this is funny. This is really funny. Hey, what's that?
The drum. Nothing, monsieur. Just the steel hands during the Dutch Congo.
Oh. Well, they can't have done a hard day's work if they've got enough energy to dance at night. I think maybe I'll go down there.
Oh, no, monsieur. No.
What do you mean, I must not?
I am sorry, monsieur. I just meant, well... If you are interested in voodoo conjuring, perhaps I Oh, you here?
Oh, I'm no papalois, Monsieur Van Gogh. I have some skill with the knuckle bone, telling fortune. And if Monsieur Coates would like...
No, why not? Go ahead, sir.
Very well, Monsieur. There. An arrow 9 times. That means unhappiness.
For whom?
I see a city far away from here. I see 2 men, both in love with the same woman.
Yeah, easy, Alan. Let him finish. Drop here.
One of the men is rich, powerful. The other is not. The one who is rich has his rival sent away, and in his absence, marries the girl. She knows she is making a mistake.
Oh, she does, does she? Why, you insolent!
Come on,
you coat. How dare you hit him for 2 cents?
All right, Mr. Bender. You did not hurt me.
No. Well, I haven't even started yet. You're fired.
Just a second, Coates.
Oh, Brandon. I had a hunch you weren't getting as much as you could out of the natives, that you were too soft with them. Now I know it. You're fired, too.
John, so that's why you insisted I come down here with you.
Of course. Don't you think I know that you're still in love with him?
Okay, Coates, you asked for it.
Oh, no, you're not, Alan.
I've got a gun here. Now you stay where you are. I'm going down to the field and Hudson really show them who's boss.
Alan. Oh, Alan.
All right, Julian. Being fired doesn't bother me. But the other things, are they true?
But really, you are love. Made you even sad.
Monsieur Bender, excuse me, but I think you should know. The drums, it is not the Dutch Congo. It is the Felix Petro. T. Marron is down with the surf.
What?
Who is T. Marron?
He's the most famous witch doctor on the island. John may be a swine, but he tends to him. Listen, Muriel, you stay here with Pierre. I'm going after John.
What do they think they're doing?
The bells of death.
Here that comes.
Listen, you hear them? Something is coming.
What do you mean?
Something.
The stooges.
You. Who, what it is?
Not yet, you guys.
Holy smoke. They're white.
You hear the young guys come.
A woman. A white woman. Walking as if she were asleep. We're in a trance. As soon as she gets to the altar, we'll be able to see. Oh, great Scott. It's Mueller.
Insisted there was no such thing as voodoo. Dared the witch doctor to invoke the god Yidan Yango. And when the god did appear, he found he'd taken possession of the body of his wife. Very unusual. But not any more annoying than when a simple thing like a mean, sulky, gloomy disposition takes possession of us. Oftentimes, irregularity is entirely to blame. So the sensible thing to do is get right after it with Carter's little liberty. Now, don't let the gloom of irregularity hold you back, keep you from enjoying life and getting ahead in the world. Wake up the flow of one of your most vital digestive juices with Carter's little liberty. Let them help you to feel up and at and bubbling with enthusiasm and alive with the glorious feeling that goes with regularity. Just give Carter's little liberty to try out. And I think you'll agree that Carter's little liver pills can really be the best friend to your sunny disposition.
I think they were still selling those when I was a kid. Carter's little liver pills.
They're still on the market.
Are they really?
Isn't that like a diuretic?
Yeah.
They call it Carter's little liver pills, but I think it was a diuretic.
Yeah.
Is that all they did? I mean, what good did they do your liver? I mean, if it's a diuretic, shouldn't it be Carter's little kidney pill then? A kidney?
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Well, 6 out of 10 doctors smoked them.
There you go. Used to smoke Carter's little liver pills. That's right. We are really short on time today. Let's wrap up. Inner Sanctum, Island of Death. We got to have time to sell ourselves. It's Island of Death.
All right. Do you still think voodoo is all nonsense? Oh, you're not so sure now. But you still want me to go on with our story. Very well. Just a moment later now. Alan Brandon and John Coates. Sitting in the subterranean temple, transfixed to the corner. Muriel.
But we left her up in the house. It can't be.
But it is.
She's in some kind of a trance.
Blast that witch doctor. I'm going to
lock you, fool. Is anything now that can tell her what
would happen to her? Hey, where did you end up? We've called.
Look. Look, they're all kneeling. Bowing to her.
You are nobody. With the power we've given you.
Why did they let us go like that?
not even try and stop us. All of them just sitting there, staring.
I don't know, but I'd have been happier if
you were. What happened to Madame?
That blasted witch doctor team are on some kind of a ceremony with a ghost.
The blessing of the ghost without horns.
He must have hypnotized her or something like that. But he won't try any more of his voodoo tricks on her or anybody else. I killed him.
Killed him. Killed Team Haro.
Yeah, hold her head, Brandwine. I'll give her some of this brandy.
Brandy. I am afraid that will not help, Monsieur. You do not give brandy to someone who is dead.
Dead? What are you talking about?
Her heart is still beating, yes. But she is not really alive. You see, her soul left her body when Timaron called to her. When you killed him, it could not find its way back. It is out there. So, now, wandering around, lost in the night.
Why, oh, John, haven't you done enough harm already?
Well, we've got to get a doctor for her. Right away.
Yes, monsieur. But if her soul does not find its way back soon, it will never come back. But there is no white doctor that can help her.
Will you shut up? Where's the nearest one, Alan?
Dr. Gostian, about 9 miles up the road. I'll show you the way.
All right, well, come on. You stay here and watch up here. And if anything happens to her...
Yes, monsieur. I will stay.
Are you coming, John? Hurry up.
Yes, all right. The soul is gone, wandering around somewhere in the night.
She's fainted, that's all.
Maybe it's a fever and she's out of her head.
Well, which way?
Shortest way is that way there.
You mean through the jungle? When it's dark, we won't be able to see it.
Listen, Colt. You may not know it, you may not care, but Muriel's life is in danger. I'm not sure a doctor can help her, but I'm going to get one if I have to crawl on my hands and knees.
Well, all right. I'll do it. Hey, he's holding it so tightly, it's almost as if... There. Ah. Here it is.
Drop it. Break it.
There. Now can I go?
In just a moment, monsieur.
But you said that
I... Yes, monsieur. But I would not advise you to move at just this moment. Turn around.
A snake. Bushman. Deadly snake there is.
Not just a bushman. It is Dambala. Look well at the snake, so Dambala. Look well so you will know it again.
That's for you, Dambala. I've had enough of this. Now I'm getting out of here and I'm taking Muriel with me. Start, Walker, both of you. Back to the house.
Perhaps we had better come to see that.
I think. All right. Yeah, just a second.
Yes, monsieur.
I'm asking you this as a friend. Isn't there anything that can be done? Any way she can be saved? You see, I love her.
I know, monsieur. But you know what is written. An eye for an eye. A tooth for a tooth. A life for a life.
You mean to see my room, but she didn't have anything to do with that.
No, monsieur. That is why I think she will recall it.
Now that what has to be done has been done.
Oh.
Muriel, darling, are you all right?
But, yes, Alan. I just feel terribly tired and weak. Is it... What happened?
Remember?
Well, the last thing I remember was John going down to the native quarter and you going after him. Where is John?
He's outside getting the car. He should never have brought you down here with him. He's going to take you away.
Away? Alan, no.
After all, he is your husband.
I don't care. I hate him. I hate him.
Madame was not alone in hating him. And, well, I do not think she anymore.
What do you mean?
Somehow, I have the feeling that...
Hey there, Muriel. We'll go. Come up here. There's his carpet. Where is he? There he is.
Yes, monsieur.
John, what happened? What is... Oh. Good Lord, he's dead.
Yes, monsieur.
What killed him?
Look there. Crawling back into the jungle.
A bushman. The same one that... It can't be the same one. He shot it.
Perhaps it is the mate of the one he shot.
Wait. There's only one way the snake could have been. If it was in the car. How could it get him? Yeah. You. You did it.
I... No, monsieur. The egg in Cimarron's hand. The egg with his life in it. Have you forgotten that he broke that himself?
For this in your ear, folks. There are just 15 shopping days until Christmas, full of rush, hurry, and crowd. About all you can do is face things armed with a good disposition. So don't let irregularity get you down. Get after that logy, cross, irritable feeling with Carter's Little Liver Pills.
Let them wake up the flow of one of your most important digestive juices. And help turn those 15 shopping days into 15 topping days. Full of the glorious, glad to be alive feeling that goes with regularity. Remember the name, Carter's Little Liver Pill. Yes, and remember this too. Christmas comes but once a year. But year round, Carter's Little Liver Pill can be the best friend to your sunny disposition.
Raymond to host again, getting ready to close that creaking door to the inner sanctum until the same time next week. And don't forget, there's safety in numbers, so be sure to have all your friends listen with you. Remember, all names of characters used on the Inner Sanctum Mystery broadcast are entirely fictitious. Now, if you should happen to get into an argument with anyone about whether the dead come back from the grave, about goats without horns, black magic, and conjuring, whatnot, remember the old saying. Voodoo unto others, you would have them voodoo to you. Have you read this month's Inner Sanctum Mystery novel, Trial by Fury, by Craig Rice? It's on sale at your favorite bookstore. Good night. Sweet dreams.
Listeners, be on guard. Don't let it sneak up on you like a thief in the night. What is it? Listen to this report from the Harris home as Mrs. Harris says to her maid.
Hannah, I'll never give another party. I'm going straight to bed.
Oh, before dinner, ma'am.
I'm exhausted. All those chatty, noisy women depress me so.
I wouldn't think you wish to blame the guests, ma'am. You've been kind of edgy and cross all week. Not like yourself at all.
Oh, you're right, Hannah. I'm sorry.
Oh, I know how it is. And when I get to feeling that way, I know it's time to try Carter's Little Liver Pills.
Right. And when you don't feel good, try Carter's Little Liver Pills. They do the work of calomel, but have no calomel in them. Well, they are simple pills made of vegetable drugs. They wake up the flow of one of our most vital digestive juices. When this vital juice flows at the rate of 2 pints a day, it helps to digest our food and bring back the glorious feeling that goes with regularity. Then most folks feel like happy days are here again. But be sure you get the genuine Carter's Little Liver Pills. 25 cents at all drugstores. This is the network of the National Broadcasting Company.
That's glory.
Erie House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story.
An eye for an eye leaves everyone blind, but a tooth for a tooth just leads to soft eating.
And a really nice one.
Tomorrow night, it's not just the doll kids. Toy Death from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Ooh.
Does that send up a shiver
or
what?
Sounds like a killer of a show.
Yes. You'll be entranced. Zombified even. Excuse me.
That reminds me of Telly Savalas and Chatty Cathy or something.
There you go. Oh, no, it was Talkie Tina. Talkie.
Oh, okay. Talkie
Tina. And I'm going to kill you.
Now, see, where others feared clowns, dolls were my hang-up as a kid. Oh, between Talkie Tina and there was another one. Oh, I can't remember. It'll come to me after the show. Want to thank everyone for listening. Fogs, Bane, good old Bob, Chris, hey, thanks, and many, many, many others that we don't even see. And thanks for joining us last week. And tomorrow at 6:30, then
the castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And him and her.
When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come. come alone.
That's Horn of a Horror, starring Guy the Ghoul, Wild the Twitches.
And
that's tomorrow.
You dig it.
Right after. Oh, dear.
Thank you, man. He's very nice. He closes the door. Not everybody closes the door when they leave.
But did he wipe
now,
his feet?
If he just didn't, if he didn't catch his coat on it, you know, after he closed it, that was not the cool thing, you know.
Nick Frost never closed the door.
No.
Nick Frost. Yeah. In Shaun of the Dead,
Shaun of the Dead.
He kept leaving the door open. It was so funny. If you've never seen this movie, at first, Sean is almost oblivious that there's a zombie apocalypse going on around him because his life is going to heck between his girlfriend and his relationship with his stepfather. It's hilarious with Simon Pegg.
Oh, yes, the new Mrs. Scotty on the Star Trek reboot. Or one of the movies.
Yes,
reboot.
He played Scotty, and he was in a lot of movies with Nick Frost. What was that one? Hot Fuzz. That very funny film. Very, very British. So is Shaun of the Dead. Very British.
Oh, yes, and he was in one of the Mission Impossible movies as well.
Was he?
Oh, yes.
And then those two were in, let's see, a movie called Paul. They encounter, they're like kind of hippie kind of guys, and they encounter an alien named Paul.
Oh, yeah, they're at a sci-fi convention, and they're total geeks.
Yes. Very fun movie. Those two are a good comic team, but they're not working much together anymore. I think Nick Frost was in one of those AMC shows, the one about karate, and not karate, but all kinds of martial arts, swords and karate and stuff. I forget what it's called.
Was it one of Quentin Tarantino's Grindhouse films?
It has that flavor to it. I don't know if it's, I don't think it's from Tarantino, but it has that style to it.
Which, the Planet Dead, or whatever that was?
I don't know. Have any of you, I referenced it earlier. Have either or any of you seen I Walked with a Zombie from 1945?
I know the film. I've seen it.
I have seen it. I would have to see it again to refresh my memory, but I know I've seen it.
Dave and I did a show, and I don't know the date. I'd have to go here. I'll go into the library here. In the studio, it was It was Eerie House number 13 back in 2016, and it was all about Val Lewton. Val Lewton, the filmmaker.
Lucky number 13.
You were helping. What's that? Lucky 13. Val Lewton.
Lucky 13.
He liked Boris Karloff, so he had him in two or three films, but he did. Let's see. I Walked with a Zombie. The Cat People, The Leopard Man, Boris Karloff in Isle of the Dead, Boris Karloff in Bedlam. That's an insane asylum story.
Bedlam. That is so good. If anyone ever saw the movie How Green Was My Valley, there was an actress by the name of Anna Lee.
Yes, she's in that.
Yes, she's in Bedlam. Wonderful, wonderful performance.
Yes.
She went on
and his
soap opera.
His movies didn't have much of a budget. I mean, he knew he was making B movies, but they were very stylistic, I think. The cinematography especially for its day was outstanding in I Walked with a Zombie. Outstanding in The Cat People and the way they told that story.
And I walked with it. It just didn't have the punch. Like The King of the Zombies had some punch to it. There was like, oh my god, kind of a freak factor. But I Walked with a Zombie is a little bit understated. While there is that sword scene, that's kind of rough, but
yeah,
it's kind of demure. Other than that,
but I like it nonetheless. I won't argue the point because you're right. It's certainly not terrifying, but it's a well shot movie.
Yeah, it
had some charm to it too. When the one guy first got to the island, there was a guy that was singing a song about his family. His family was a wealthy thing, and all the their dalliances, and stuff. Yeah, they owned a plantation. And then one of them got zombified, and it was pretty good.
Yeah. I think the lack of punch. Go ahead.
Oblong Box. Does anyone see the Oblong Box?
Very strange, but very good movie. It's been a long time, but
I've
seen it.
I wanted to show it, but there's nudity in it, so I couldn't show it.
Edit it out.
I'm not all that heavy with the edit hand. I don't, you know, I like to keep it mostly intact if I can.
Yeah. I had that fear when I showed Night of the Living Dead on cable. I put like a cartoon picture of my face over zombie butt. There's zombie butt.
Hey, Gar, if you're worried about nudity, just put some clothes on.
Yeah.
Well, problem solved. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I think in I Walked with a Zombie, I think they were just more encompassing of their zombie folk, not as like, ooh, but more like, hey, how you doing? Do you need some zombie stew? I don't know. Yeah.
zombie stew for you. Let me see when was.
Which is
show
a nod
13
to King
broadcast.
Of the Zombies.
Oh, wait.
King of the Zombies, they had the soups scene where the guy was like, well, you can't be eating that. That's for the zombies. Manchan Moreland.
Oh, those
was
are great.
Yeah, he complained he wanted salt. Yeah.
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 You can't be having salt. See, and again, I love the film, and it is what it is, and it stands by what it is, and there's some people in these days and times that don't like what it is, and it's like, okay, I apologize, but still a good fun movie.
September 24th, 2016 was the Val Lewton show.
Wow.
That was one, and one week later we had Ormsby on. Remember Ormsby?
Oh, Ormsby, he stole the show, man.
Yeah.
He stole it.
Yeah. The puppet monster.
Was I with you guys?
Yeah, he's still.
Was I with you guys back then?
No, not yet.
Not yet. Okay.
No. Yeah.
No, it was just me and Dave for a while. Here we go. First episode, Random Ramblings with Gar the Ghoul, October 23rd of 2016. So it was shortly thereafter.
Wow, okay.
Shortly
there
thereafter.
There you go.
We had the Kniff guy on. Wow.
And you've been stuck ever since.
Oh, I'm sorry. In regards to that session, you were talking about having an idea session?
Yeah.
Well,
like
for...
A conference call.
Know. Yeah.
Well, I guess this is it.
Just off the top of my head.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, just off the top of my head, where daylight saving time, spring ahead, fall back, you can do that song, Mr. Sandman, Bring Me a Dream, because my sleep is totally interrupted when that happens.
I always have visions of Halloween 2, because they use that song so effectively in that movie.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
That sent a chill up my spine the first time I saw it, and at the end credits they played it.
Yeah.
Yep.
That song has been amazingly overused. It's a great song.
Yep. And now I associate it completely in my mind with Halloween 2. But, yeah. Yep, Halloween's coming. So what is it? I think it's a Monday. So I took the Thursday, the Friday, the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. The Tuesday and Wednesday are to recover my old ass.
I consider September pre-Halloween.
Yep.
Somewhere around across this. After, go ahead.
And we know the 30th, we're going to do some semblance of War of the Worlds.
Right.
Yeah, we have to find, find another one yet.
I ran across this information, and after the 4th of July, there are no very real holidays. There's Columbus Day and this and the other. But essentially, after the 4th of July, forget about it. The next thing to look towards to,
Labor Day. Us working stiffs are looking forward to Labor Day now.
Well, Labor Day.
Yeah, yeah.
But for Labor Day, I don't, you know, jump up and down. Is there a retail push on Labor Day? Really? A sale?
No,
maybe?
But there's,
I don't know.
There's, yeah, there is, on hamburgers, hot dogs. And
oh, okay. Grocery store holiday.
Or veggie burgers.
And mattresses, yeah, yeah.
You know, you can make some.
A bank holiday.
Right.
Yep. Now, you can make some nice vegetable dishes on the grill.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So someone's push was this. Since there isn't really a strong retail push after the 4th of July, on the 5th of July, from then on, Halloween. It needs to be in the stores.
Well, that'll creep up on us.
Well, they're doing it with Christmas. Why not Halloween, you know?
Dave, do you think we can pull enough music to do another music show that's different than what we did? I mean, we can maybe do a few of those.
Yeah, we'll have to do some digging there.
I think I still have all the master lists in one file. I'm going to have to review that and see if we can pull that out without repeating very much at all.
I found one album that was produced by a husband and wife where they did Halloween songs. And we might get away with that one.
World War II ditties and things of that nature, because there's tons of songs that were done to keep the morale on the troops and all that sort of thing.
We did that. We did. Didn't we do a World War II show?
We did.
Yeah.
What about Karina?
I think it was a full 2-hour show. I think.
Yeah, we had a ton of music for that one. I got a file on that one too.
Yeah, all the songs they played on Nash.
Yeah.
I had sent you guys a whole bunch of video of audio files from someone collecting them that were holiday-centric.
Yeah.
Years ago?
We're trying to stick with stuff we're pretty sure was broadcast on radio.
Some of these, they're great songs, but we can't really use them.
Right.
Yeah, they're clearly copywritten. There's a ton of I could use that I can't use.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I got a ton of it. But we could probably go 24 hours without repeating anything.
Yeah.
Between what Dave and I got. Oh, my God. And you, Gar. You got a ton of stuff, too.
We could go years without repeating. I mean, that's the fun of the old-time radio. There's just so much of it.
Well, we will. We have, and we will.
Mm-hmm.
God damn, 6 years ago. Wow, Gary, you started hooking up with us 6 years ago. I think you were a guest a few times, and we're like, yeah, we're adopting him.
Yeah,
he's adopting us, or maybe he's adopting us.
Like,
I don't know.
It was just some crazy person said, can you call back next week? And I was like, okay. And it's been all downhill ever since.
I think it was a horrors
you
for the holidays
downhill, show. You go any more downhill,
you're
going to be any more downhill, and you'll be in a basement, Gar.
Yeah. Well, the first one was with Misty Brew, and she said, "Please come on, I'm nervous." And I said, "Okay, sure." And
so that was back.
Her phone wasn't working.
Creepy Castle. That was back Creepy Castle days. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And her phone wasn't working. And it turned out, so it was an interview with her, and then it was a slight interview with me. And then they were like, can you come back? And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. there's a lot of them here, I see. You started working with us in late 2016, shortly after we started.
Yeah. I know that year well, too well, because that's when I made my change to Cox Communications. Oh, joy.
Ooh, we did an EC show back in 2016, all about EC Comics.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
Were you there for that one? Because that was after you were already starting to be on regularly.
I would imagine he probably was. I imagine
Maybe.
He probably was, yeah.
I was listening.
Yep.
And then
well,
you did the silly thing and called in, and then we adopted you.
And that was over.
There yeah.
There's another one. We adopted you or you adopted us, but... Here we all are.
I'm just the stray puppy, the stray kitten on your door. Meow, meow, meow.
Funny puppy sounds, but okay.
Yeah.
Come on in.
I'm in. No. Where's my meow, 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 meow,
meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow,
meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow.
Yeah, tie it to a cat. If the cat has it, the dog wants it. Usually.
With that, gentlemen, I must be away till tomorrow.
Away!
Hasta la bye-bye.
I hold silver away.
Oh. All right, you have a job to do, yes, before you can leave then.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I get paid very well for this.
You'll get yours.
You do?
If you please.
Enjoy your week, CW. Boy, boy.
You can go.
Good night.
Thanks, Dar.
Good night. Good night.
Good night.
It's time to say good night. For this sake, but good night.
Yeah, oh.
We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo.
What no good?
Maribo, up we the same, and in touch they can do. Good night. Good night.
Mr. Goat.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash.
Where look out, Martians.
We're coming.
Look out.
Long version.